I'm John Strum, and this is Real Talk MS. It's March 7th, and we have a lot to talk about. I'm in Washington, D.C. this week, participating in the National MS Society's Public Policy Conference, and I'm looking forward to returning to Capitol Hill after 2 years of virtual visits to meet face-to-face with our senators and representatives, gaining their support for increased federal funding for MS research and improving accessibility on commercial airplanes. But what I'm most looking forward to is being with a couple of hundred MS activists. The passion and energy that everyone brings to this event is off the charts, and I can't wait to be a part of it. To be honest, this episode of the podcast sort of snuck up on me. It wasn't exactly what I had planned. When my guest, Robert Munns, first reached out to me over email and I learned about his organization, I knew that I wanted to share some information about the amazing work, the mission of this nonprofit organization called Oceans of Hope UK that Robert had founded. But as I talked with Robert, I realized that there was another story to share as well, and that was the story of how Robert reclaimed his life after a strong but not uncommon emotional reaction to being diagnosed with MS. And so you'll find today's interview goes longer than the typical Real Talk MS interview because there are two stories to tell here. You need to hear about the work that Oceans of Hope UK is doing and learn how you might want to get involved. But you also need to hear how Robert became inspired and motivated to reconnect with who he was and what he was all about, all thanks to a remarkable sailing adventure. I hope you find both stories as compelling as I do. But before we get to my conversation with Robert Munns, there are a few other things that you should know about. The America's Committee for Treatment and Research in Multiple Sclerosis held their annual meeting, the ACT Rooms Forum, about 10 days ago in San Diego. 1,700 MS researchers and clinicians attended the four-day meeting, and amidst all of the research being presented, a couple of announcements caught my attention, each for very different reasons. A research team at the University of Buffalo presented the results of a first-of-its-kind study that focused on better understanding why a small percentage of people with MS quickly become severely disabled, while in most cases, MS progresses much more slowly. Now, full disclosure, I have a very personal interest in this study because my wife Jean was part of that small percentage of people with MS, and as her caregiver, watching her level of disability progress so rapidly, I could never reconcile what I was seeing with what I was reading and trying to understand about MS progression. To conduct this study, the research team recruited 53 severely disabled participants with MS from the Boston Home, a remarkable residential facility specifically for people with advanced neurological disorders, including MS. Each of these participants was paired with what you might want to think of as a twin, someone of the same age, same sex, and even the same MS disease duration, but who was experiencing far less cognitive and physical disability. Using advanced imaging, including PET scans and 7 Tesla MRI, the researchers searched for differences between the two groups of study participants, biomarkers that might explain the rapid, aggressive disability progression among the study participants from the Boston Home. And they found some. It's widely accepted that MS is characterized by the formation of white matter lesions in the brain. These are the lesions that you typically see in an MRI scan of someone living with MS. However, the study participants with severe disability showed significantly more gray matter loss in the cortex and thalamus compared to their less disabled twins. Interestingly, the loss of whole brain volume was comparable among both groups, as was white lesion load. This points to a conclusion that white matter lesions are not the cause of this severe, rapid, and aggressive disability in MS. And that's important because many MS disease-modifying therapies are focused on slowing the accumulation of white matter lesions, which means they offer limited or perhaps no benefit to someone who may be experiencing this most severe form of MS. The researchers also observed that study participants with severe disability also showed more pronounced atrophy in the medulla oblongata. That's the connection between the brainstem and the spinal cord, which serves as a proxy for spinal cord atrophy. In other words, the study participants with severe MS disability were also shown to suffer from a loss of actual spinal cord substance. Finally, collaborating scientists at the University of Basel, Switzerland, used special blood-based analysis techniques to show that the study participants with severe disability also showed a more advanced loss of neurons. These findings lend some explanation to why some people with MS see their cognitive and physical disabilities progress very rapidly, while most others don't. When it comes to exploring this question, there's lots more work to be done, but these study results opened the door to research pathways that didn't exist before, and that's exciting progress. Another ACTRIMS presentation that caught my eye was provided by Dr. Serhat Okar, a neurologist and postdoctoral research fellow at the National Institute of Neurological Disorders and Stroke, which is part of the National Institutes of Health. Dr. Okar presented his study of a portable MRI device that could be brought to patients and used to image MS brain lesions. I've never met anyone who truly enjoys their time spent in an MRI device, not to mention the logistical challenges of sometimes getting to a hospital or imaging center. For instance, at the hospital closest to my home, this is a major medical center. Their MRI device is housed in a facility that is not wheelchair accessible. Patients with mobility issues are forced to find an accessible imaging center somewhere else. So having a small, low-cost, portable alternative, this portable MRI device is about the size of R2-D2, and yes, Dr. Okar made that size comparison during his presentation. Well, this device could be a big win for many people who haven't yet been diagnosed or require that annual imaging exam. It will make a huge difference in rural areas of the United States and other countries where there just aren't any or many MRI devices at all. My friend Dr. Laura Musumbaye of Kenya tells me that in Kenya, a country of 50 million people, there's just one MRI device. Just imagine how many people in Kenya aren't getting the correct MS diagnosis today. Dr. Okar explained that the portable MRI device is not yet accurate enough to be used to diagnose MS itself. But the good news is that work is already underway to improve it. It's both literally and figuratively a small thing, but a low-cost portable MRI device represents a game-changing advancement that can lead to better diagnosis and more patient-friendly treatment for people with MS across the United States and around the world. We'll keep you updated as work on this device continues. Scientific breakthroughs aren't the only kinds of things that lead to a better quality of life for people living with MS. I can think of one example where science is probably the last thing on anyone's mind. Instead, it's sailing on the Mediterranean that's already provided life-changing experiences for over 1,000 people living with MS. In a moment, we'll meet my guest, yachtmaster and founder of Oceans of Hope UK, Robert Munns. In treating his MS patients, Dr. Mikkel Antonesen could feel their resignation and sense their despair when they talked about seeing their plans for the future grow small and dim until they disappeared. And in that process, he saw them lose a part of themselves. Dr. Antonesen was inspired to do something, to find a way for people living with MS to reconnect with who they were at their core and be reminded of what they were truly capable of. Dr. Antonissen was an avid sailor, and so in 2012, he started thinking about sailing around the world with a crew comprised of people living with MS. That voyage actually began on June 15, 2014, when Oceans of Hope, a 67-foot racing sailboat, set sail. With a rotating crew of over 100 people with MS coming from 16 different countries, the voyage ended 17 months later, on November 15, 2015, and in that time, on that voyage, Dr. Antonissen made his point, changing people's mindset from disability to ability. Two members of that crew, Robert Munns and Nicola Kaufman, returned to the UK intent on extending Dr. Antonissen's original vision. They founded Oceans of Hope UK, and leveraging the kind of teamwork that sailing requires, Oceans of Hope UK serves as a catalyst for creating lasting friendships, a strong supportive community that's run by people with MS for people with MS. Joining me today is my guest, the co-founder of Oceans of Hope UK, Robert Munns. Welcome to the podcast, Robert.
Hi, John, and thank you very much for letting me come on board.
You know, before we talk about what's happening right now at Oceans of Hope UK, can you tell me what your experience was like on that original circumnavigation?
Okay, well, I was diagnosed in 2008 with MS quite brutally and quite quickly. And I didn't realize the next 6 years of my life were going to be the way they panned out. It only took me getting on the boat with Mikkel to realize how much of my life had been lived not to its fullest. I spent good time with good people on board the boat on the leg that I sailed, which I'll tell you about in a wee while. But what I realized is I wasn't the one that was worst off. I was living with the fear, and that was having a bit of a squiffed perception on myself, and I didn't realize how much it was affecting me until I got on the boat with others with MS. And that perception of my MS was obviously wrong. It was dimming the lights on every possibility in my life, whether it was love, work, family, friends, or just being the gregarious fool that I am. I've always been. And there was a bit of me for those 5 or 6 years that wasn't existing. And to use your words, that part of me had disappeared. And I didn't realize that I was mourning the loss of that person. And getting on a boat with 6 other people with MS and a great crew, including Mikkel, I realized that perception was wrong. And I realized how wrong and how it had affected my life. We were encouraged to write blogs on board. And my first blog was an apology to myself, my loved ones, and my family, apologizing for not being there. And that was done in a pool of tears on board in the galley while I was sailing from the Galapagos Islands to Tahiti. And that was nearly 4 weeks of sailing. And I'm a yacht master, and my job at the time was to take people out on boats in the Mediterranean in the warm sun and take them on beautiful journeys where they can connect with their family or their loved ones or work colleagues. And the boat itself as a concept is an amazing place where people can do that, because they're not affected by time the same way that you are in the city at work or whatever. It's dictated by the rising of the sun and the setting of the sun and the weather and how rough it is or how long a journey you've got. And that's really indicative of life as I see it now. And what I found on the boat was What I wanted to do as a yacht master on the boat, I wanted to catch a fish, kill a fish, cook a fish at some point in the Pacific. I wanted to climb up the mast 1,500 miles away from any land. And I also wanted to use a sextant, which is navigating by the stars, that little contraption that you may or may not know of. None of that happened. None of those physical things happened. None of those challenges happened. It was this odyssey for me, listening to other people, listening to the time, the waves, listening to the sun, listening to the moon, and finding my place again, finding my character again that was kind of lost for quite some time. And to be honest, it's the most interesting part of my character, the fun idiot. And I found my place again in the crew, where I was the one that kept spirits up. We made cooking fun. We made the long hours during the night really special through engaging with each other and listening to each other's dilemmas, whether it's MS related or not. And before you know it, nobody is apologizing for being there. Nobody's apologizing for dropping things or tripping up or being tired or forgetting things. How ironic. I almost forgot forgetting things. And what I found was I was reconnecting with my old self, and the time on a boat is universal, that you get a chance to reconnect with what's important. And I think that was really important for me to do that. Forget about the physical challenges. Deal with the now and the moment. And ever since, that's what I deal with, the moment of now, who I'm with, and my commitment to you now.
So this wasn't only an experience of being on board on that part of the journey at sea, but this is something that the things that changed within you stayed with you once you disembarked and reconnected with your everyday life.
Totally, totally. I was given a gift by Mikkel and the crew. I was given a gift of hope, of recapturing my identity again, putting it into perspective, where I was, where I'd been, and now where I can go, irrespective or in conjunction with my MS.
So there you were, having this amazing experience on board, and your part of the journey comes to an end in Tahiti. How do you go from there to deciding what we really need to do is start Oceans of Hope UK?
I'm very lucky because my job was kind of, my season starts in May through till the end of October in the Mediterranean. I got off Oceans of Hope in early April. And my boss, the owner of the boat that I ran, he was very aware of that I was doing this. And he was very aware of my journey with MS. He was a very supportive boss. I was given this gift by Mikkel and the boat. I like to call it a giant cake. I was given this cake and I ate it all, and I loved every single piece of it. So that spring, that summer, when I went back to the boat that I ran, ironically called Big Smile, I spent that summer working out how I was going to make more cake for others to have a similar cake, for others to have a piece, a tiny piece of the huge cake I had. And how was I going to do that? For whom was I going to do that? And more importantly, when, where, and how many people I was going to do it for. So that summer, I was through Greece into Turkey. I just decided that I would have a flotilla of little boats in Turkey in the following May before my season next year started on Big Smile in Turkey, in the same marina, basically. So it was very, I wouldn't say it was very well timed. It wasn't very well organized. It just fitted in well. I wish I could take the credit for it, but the boat decided where we were going to do it. So that autumn, so that's now the autumn of 2015, same time as when Oceans of Hope came back to Barcelona and then continued round to Copenhagen in November of that year. I went to Mikkel and said, I remember it so well. And I said, look, I've got this idea. You gave me this gift. I just want to reproduce it in another way where we can give people a chance to try it, a chance to recreate the thing that I had, which is people finding their identity, people going outside of their comfort zone, finding new possibilities, learning new skills, and creating a small, very passionate community of people who have gone through the same thing. And Mikkel went, well, I think he went, yeah, okay, good luck with that. But that autumn, I kept going. I put the cost of the boats on my own personal credit card and hoped that I would get enough people to come. So it was, the event cost X amount, and we just divided it by the number of people that came. That's how it all started for me, which was a hugely emotional journey and hugely impactful upon the work that Mikkel did. I was deciding to be magnificent again. I was deciding there are possibilities again. I was deciding that I'm worthy again. I was deciding that the bit of me that was missing is back. And I decided that he's going to rule the roost for a while. And that was so fundamental in how I make the cake.
Since you first started baking that cake, it's developed a few layers. Today, if someone visits Oceans of Hope UK website, they're going to see, I think, three different levels of what you call sailing challenges that people with MS can participate in. Do I have that right?
Yes, you do. Thank you very much. The website is www.oceansofhope.co.uk. And each event that we do is called a challenge. And right at the start, there was a lot of debate about the word challenge. I wanted the word challenge because I'd done it and I knew what sort of challenge it was. And I knew that people like me, people that had different compromises, if I may use that word, in their life, would challenge themselves. And the brave ones do challenge themselves. And we help them get over those challenges, whether it's physical, emotional, comfort zone, new skill, or whatever. We help people overcome their challenges. And by doing that, we're helping ourselves. The challenges are set out in three different sort of levels, I suppose. The day challenge is for people who don't feel able to commit to a week away with 30 other strangers, sharing a bunk with a complete stranger, where they get a chance to maybe just drive for an hour or two, come for 4 or 5 hours sailing with us, and then go home. And that's the taste of sail, I suppose, where people can get a chance to become addicted. And it works, and it is very addictive. And this is an invite to you whenever you want to. You just drop me a line and we will get you on a boat.
I promise you're not going to have to ask me twice.
Okay. So the day challenge is the step onto the back platform of the boat where people can try something out. We do that in all kinds of ways. We do a regular cruiser boat where we have a skipper and a first mate and six people who are coming sailing with us. That kind of starts about 10, 11 o'clock and finishes about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. We have teas and coffees and all that. We have all the safety equipment and stuff like that. We generally have a great fun day out. Everybody has a chance to take the wheel, pull on some ropes, learn a little bit about the wind, seeing some of the sights of Portsmouth and what have you. But most importantly, they get a chance to speak to other people with MS as well that may have done sailing before or might be virgins as well. So that's a regular cruiser boat. Another way that we take people on day challenges is in dinghies, in little sailing boats on lakes around everywhere. Quite a lot of those places have fully accessible sailing boats where they can just get, if needs be, we can hoist them in to the dinghy and they go with an instructor and they get a chance to move this boat around the water and experience freedom that they might not necessarily be able to experience, where they use the power of something else. They use the power of nature and they can move, turn, go around a course. And hopefully at the end of each day that we do this, they have a race with others and they can learn about how they can do other things. They are not a burden to other people all of the time. It could be a few hours off where they're only a burden to themselves. And they can get over that and move these boats through the water and achieve amazing things. And to some people, it's a huge adrenaline rush. And that is a touch of being human, which some of us don't even feel in a year. And to see people come off of a little dinghy at the end of the afternoon or when they've taken part in a race, whether they've won or lost, doesn't matter, but you see this magnificent glow. And every time I see it, it makes me cry because it's so powerful. So we do dinghy sailing. We also have a boat, have access to a boat in Portsmouth that is fully wheelchair accessible. And that's called Spirit of Scott Barda, which is an amazing catamaran where people can wheel on the side of it with a ramp and they can sail the boat like anybody else can. It's got a fully accessible toilet and we do day sails in that as well. So if we have one of our regular sailing boats, we always take Spirit of Scott Barda. So they run in tandem. So people can wave at each other, shout at each other, support each other in a different way. And it's just, it's phenomenal to see. That's a day sailing. We also got the adventurous sailing, which is our kind of old school event, which is a flotilla on regular cruising boats, somewhere warm in the Mediterranean usually. And we take anything between 5 and 10 boats sailing. We operate it like a regular flotilla, but us crazy people are the ones in charge of the boat. What we see is a magnification of what happens on the dinghy because everybody gets a chance to not only do the starting things, the steering, the throwing a rope, they get to learn how to use the wind, how to navigate, how to cook together, how to clean together, and how to support each other in an environment where at the end of the day, they can feel they've achieved so much as a team, and individuals feel proud that they've contributed to a team, they've contributed to helping other people achieve their own magnificence, which in turn helps them. I may return to that several times. It's an amazing thing to be part of. A flotilla is the most organic way because the boats meet up at the end of the day, so you can get a chance to talk to other boats. We have lunch clubs where boats invite other people onto their boat for lunch or breakfast. And you get a real camaraderie of we are amazing. And you see people realizing that they are the amazing ones. And they don't have to rely on anybody else. And they can go home changed in a way as much or as little as they want. We encourage people to do as much as they want to or can. We don't force anything. If somebody wants to take it easy today, as long as they're comfortable and safe, they're allowed to do that, because we all know what it's like. We know the fatigue is random. And we know that if somebody's tired, we let them get on with it. And we still keep them laughing. We still keep them supporting us. Because there are other ways that people can contribute to moving a boat from A to B. And the last one is Epic Challenges, which is for people who are a little bit more experienced, who at the moment, due to the lack of accessible boats, who are a little bit more like billy goats jumping around a boat. They're more difficult challenges. They're where the more experienced sailors can really test themselves. Conditions might be a little colder. The boat is a lot heavier. Everything on the boat is heavier. You have to cook for more people. You have to clean after more people. You may be going on a rota for through the night sailing, pretty much like what we did on Ocean's Hope in the original circumnavigation. And they could be anywhere. We've done epic challenges in New Zealand on Steinager 2, which is a very famous racing boat. We've done epic challenges between Portsmouth and Belfast in the freezing cold April. We're doing two more epic challenges this year, one in Brisbane and one in the UK on board another challenger boat, where we are hopefully getting some funding to provide those places free. And those places are for slightly more experienced crew, where they can actually achieve their first official qualification. So it's not only the reward, it's not only the realizing possibilities, it's about now getting on board and going on that journey, the first step to becoming possibly an Oceans of Hope skipper in a few years' time.
Since you launched Oceans of Hope UK, how many people with MS have participated in these sailing challenges?
Well over 1,000.
That's really spectacular. And you mentioned that there is a cost to participate in these challenges. Can you talk about that again?
Yeah, so every event, it's my job to make sure that we get the right boats in the right place at the right time. Because I'm involved in the industry, I can get the right boats at really rock bottom prices, purely because we kind of go slightly off season, but I just shop around and I get really good deals on really good boats. We have volunteer skippers who give a week of their time to enable 6 or 8 people to go sailing with them on one of these boats. So then that's a budget. That's a budget for the entire event. Divide that by the number of people that are coming sailing. They get free T-shirts. And we have to pay for the skipper's flights to get there. And basically, that's it. It's not rocket science. I'm telling everybody the secret formula. It's not a secret formula. But what it is, it's my job to make sure the boats are at the right place, the right quality, and at the right price. And usually it works out really, really economical compared to what it should cost. You know, if you or anybody that's listening that likes to go on a flotel holiday or a bare boat charter holiday or a holiday on a boat with a skipper, you're talking at least £1,000 for the skipper. You're talking about at least £800-900 per person who's going on that boat. And that's for like the bare minimum. This year, which hopefully we'll get a chance to talk about, we're doing an event in Athens where we are getting some people together on some boats, and the cost per person is £395. A bit of that is through everything that I do. A bit of it is subsidized, but that's £395 for a boat with a skipper. operating in a really lovely area. And I think that would be at least £1,000 more per person if it was a regular kind of holiday.
So tell me again how people can find out more about Oceans of Hope UK.
So for everybody that has MS that is looking for a new challenge or is interested to find out, all they need to do is go onto the website, oceansofhope.co.uk, go on to take part, and then you've got the choice of those three different types of challenge. The adventurous challenge is the popular one, which is currently, we've got three events on there. The big one, which I kind of really talking about today, is our flotilla in Athens, which is our first big flotilla since lockdown. All you need to do is click on take part, and then you get a choice of the 2 weeks that we're going, week one or week two, and that's from the 6th to the 13th of May. And then the 13th of May to the 20th of May is week two. All you need to do is click on one of those, fill out quite a simple form, and send it off. And that is your first step into achieving magnificence again. And also, if you can't get onto the website or whatever, www.oceansofhope.co.uk, you can also find us on social media, both Facebook and Instagram. And our tag is at Oceans of Hope Challenge. And that's Facebook and Instagram, at Oceans of Hope Challenge. And if you're a Twitter person, it's at OOH Challenge.
When people ask me what I look for in finding guests for the podcast, I like to say that I'm always looking for people who are difference makers. Robert Munns, you certainly qualify as a difference maker. Thank you for all you do to reconnect people living with MS with their abilities. And thanks so much for talking with me today.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate what you do as well.
That's going to wrap up this episode of Real Talk MS. Real Talk MS is powered by the National MS Society. And you can share this episode of the podcast by letting your friends or family members know that all they have to do is point their web browser at realtalkms.com/288. You'll find that link in today's show notes, so you can easily copy and paste it right into an email or a text. And if you have a minute, I hope you'll visit the Apple App Store or the Google Play Store and download the free Real Talk MS app for your iOS or Android smartphone or tablet. It's the best way for us to stay connected. The app will automatically download the latest episode of Real Talk MS. You'll be able to access any of our past episodes. You'll be able to save your favorite episodes. And it's a great way for me to share bonus content with you. The app is free, so I hope you'll download it today. I'm John Strum. Thanks for listening. Stay safe and make healthy choices.